I seem fun, the Diary of Jen Kirkman Codpast podcast. Before we get into this episode, I want to remind you lovely people that I am on tour. I just added some dates. I will be in Cincinnati, Columbus, and what's the other C word? Cleveland, Ohio. November 15th, 16th, and 17th. Those are not on sale yet, but they're coming. So I would join my email newsletter blast, jenkirkman.com. Click on tour dates. You can put your email in there. We don't spam. I don't even look. It's run by MailChimp, which is a great service. They're not a podcast advertiser, but hey, I've given them a shout out. And it's all done automatically. And then I have my Texas dates coming up in October. I believe I'll be in Houston, Dallas, and Austin. So get on the email blast for those. And here is what's on sale now. My tour starts September 6th at One Night at Cobb's Comedy Club, San Francisco. I asked to play there because it's my favorite comedy club in San Francisco. From there, I go to Seattle, then Portland, then Vancouver. Then after that, the Wilbur Theater in Boston, New York City, Brooklyn, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C. Then the next stops are Minneapolis, Chicago, and Detroit. Then the next stops are Durham, North Carolina, Asheville, North Carolina, Atlanta, and Nashville. So I am coming to the South. That's the only South I'm coming to as of right now. 2018, maybe I'll hit a New Orleans. Maybe I'll hit a few other things. Not Florida. I'm sorry. It's not that I think people in Florida are stupid. I don't like the options of where to perform there. I've performed a couple places there and I've just never liked it. All right, folks. That's it. I hope you'll buy tickets in advance. Please, please do that. Again, if I have to add shows, this is the only way I'll know to do so. I would say you've got about a month left, and then after that, no shows can be added. So don't let the things that are selling really fast that I would recommend you get your little grubby hands on are Seattle, Boston, New York, and Brooklyn, DC, and Atlanta. Those are selling the fastest, so get your goddamn hands on them. Thank you. Enjoy this episode. I see the fun. Oh, I know. It's a second intro. I forgot I was going to make this announcement. So my sister, this is for you people who love animals and a good story. My sister, shout out to her. Ooh, she listens to my podcast while she cleans her stables. She's got a little farm at her house. She's got horses. She teaches horseback riding lessons to the kids. It is a business that just you got to spend to get back. And she is the sole everything of the entire business, from the person mucking the stalls to the person teaching the lessons, getting the horses, doing this. And she is rescuing a little red-headed mare that her friend showed to her on St. Patrick's Day, who her friend named Irish. My sister needs another horse for her lesson programs at the farm, and she thought that she could adopt her. It'd be a great lesson experience for her students, plus she'd be helping to save a very important life. So Irish was bailed out of a kill pen and was saved on the last day before heading off to slaughter. She's now in quarantine in Pennsylvania, and then she'll be shipped to my sister's farm. My sister set up the GoFundMe page to help her with some of the cost, and you can check out, if you go to my sister's GoFundMe, you can read all the stuff and find out where the horse is and all the details, and it's all on the up and up. But the costs are buying halters, ropes, bridles, blankets, medical supplies, supplements, food. When you donate a horse, they've got to get a full physical checkup. It can be thousands of dollars. So we have had people donate. I mean, I put it on my Instagram, my Twitter, and people were donating that don't even know her, but just because people are nice. You know, some people give $5, give $10. She's trying to raise $2,500 all in all, and she's about halfway there in a day. And a lot of it is from strangers. Like, people in our own fucking family haven't donated, and strangers have. So I think it's a beautiful thing, and, you know, you're helping a woman support her small business, and you're helping kids get a little lessons, and you're helping a little pony that just got saved from a kill shelter to get all the medical care that they need. So if you want to go, now the link is a long babbling link. So, if you guys go to my Instagram page, which is Jen Kirkman, The link in the bio is where the GoFundMe is. It's on my Twitter. You can just scroll through my Twitter, which is at Jen Kirkman. And it's also on my Facebook fan page. It's not too far down. It's right there. So if you're interested, that's how you can find it. Cause the link is like kind of long and, I might put it, just go to my Instagram. That's the best place to find the link. And, if you're not on Instagram, ask someone to get the link for you. It's the link right there in my bio. So enjoy, help save a horse and, it's all good stuff. All right, here's the episode.
The Diary of Jen Kirkman podcast.
I seem fun. The Diary of Jen Kirkman podcast, episode 177. I don't feel like recording this right now. I actually feel like giving you this episode because I anticipate that it's going to be great. I just don't feel like recording it right now when I have to because I missed the deadline to get it in by my normal time. And so that's what happens when you miss a deadline. Things get more crunch timier. I don't know what I'm saying. Oh my goodness. How is everybody? Doing great? That's great. I am thinking about you all, my I Seem Fun friends all over the world. And I want you to know I am endlessly grateful that anybody listens to this. And we are getting more listeners all the time. And I welcome you. Thank you to everyone who's been sending in the best of. It's so helpful. We've got two episodes, not in the can, but packaged, and I think we know what they're going to be, and working on a third, and it's ongoing. I'm just going to make a bunch of them. They can be bonuses. They can be if I'm really stuck one week and need to throw up that episode, and I might just put one out as sort of like an intro to new people, and I will encourage them to start with that one so they can get a sense of what it is. I think it's just good to, like a little marketing, like a little teaser, a sizzle reel, as they say in the business. And, the best of moments, a lot of them are my worst moments, if that makes sense. It's not necessarily the moments that paint me in the best light. It's the moments that you guys found the most entertaining. And a lot of times what you find entertaining is me losing my mind. So it's not like, I'm trying to be someone I'm not by putting together the best of me. Just episodes where I'm like, so gave $1 million to charity. Anyway, let's begin. There's so much to talk about. I don't even know where to begin. I'm lighting a candle. Matches just seem to be a thing of the past. Like, I don't know people my age. Matches were always just at every counter. You walk into a gas station, a 7-Eleven, a Dunkin' Donut, wherever you went, there was just matches on the counter. Every business had matches. And they were just, you could just walk in anywhere and grab matches. And now it's like, when I go in places, I'm like, do you have matches? And they're like, and like, there's definitely not any on the counter. And then if it's like a hardware store or a grocery store, they have those like giant box of like long kitchen matches or matches to light a fireplace. I'm like, like good old fashioned, like trashy matches. But, then there's the fancy matches, which, I'm a fan of. And the fancy fun boxes, which I have some at home, but I don't travel with them. And then, so anyway, I bought these candles to have in my Airbnb. And then I wanted to light one on my first night. And I was like, I don't have any matches. I'll just run down to one of the many stores in the neighborhood. And there was no situation where they're right at the counter. And I was like, oh, forget it. And I just bought a lighter. And I don't know what it is. To me, lighters are for smoking. Like a lighter reminds me of like, it looks like there should be a pack of cigarettes next to it. Matches is what I like to light incense with, or sage, or candles. Matches. I don't know, something about it. Like, I don't know if anyone else feels this way, but I hope I'm not alone. It's so alone to be in that opinion. That is not something I planned to talk about on the podcast, in case you're like, this is the great episode she thought she was giving us. Oh, let me get my little notebook out of things. I'm loving my Airbnb. I got luck to the duck on this one. I mean, well, you know, listen, I'm not too shabby of a hunter. You know, I can tell from pictures and from reviews and from things who's going to be a good Airbnb Bieber. You know, this place had 53 highest reviews, like with, if it's, I think it's 5 stars. So all the reviews were 5 star. Everybody loved it. And I liked the way it looked. Ah! So I'm here and went out to dinner with my agent last night, who she says she listens to my podcast. I didn't realize anyone that represented me listened consistently. So shout out to my agent. Ooh, ooh. And who's also my friend. Everyone that reps me is also a friend, if that makes it. They might be like, once we're done with you, fuck off. But I would say if anything happened where for some reason, I don't know, they left the business or, yeah, I mean, I would be still, I think I would still be friends with them. If they would have me. Anyway, so, but we had a dinner. And the waitress came over and she said, one of the customers here, it was a very small place. It only had like 8 tables and a small bar. One of the customers here wants to buy you ladies around because he's such a big fan of your comedy. And she's looking at me like, I don't know you from dick. So I don't care with the comedy. And we had a glass of wine with dinner each. And we were like wrapping it up. But like maybe a little dessert. Maybe we'll share a dessert. And so I was like, I'll let the guy buy around. Because it wasn't like an annoying person like shots, 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 shots. And he wouldn't or she wouldn't say who they were. So it wasn't like, and now you have to drink with me. You know, so I was like, I'll have a second glass of wine. And so we did. But I apologize to the lovely gentleman who I met. Because I only finished half of it. I am medicated now, people. Medicated, back on the meds. Back on the meds. And drinking is just, you can't really do it. And I haven't been enjoying, I've been enjoying coffee. And I'm trying to live the acid-free life in what I eat. But I really, in terms of like, because I don't drink often. So when I do, I'm like, yeah, I'll have 3 glasses of wine at dinner. And you're like, nice. And like, I would say it's like the beginning of drunk, where you could either just be like, this is enough, or you're like, let's go out. And so I don't like getting to that point because I'm a happy drunk. And so you get me that drunk and I might change my whole plans. Let's go somewhere. And then I'm regretting it the next day. Like I get wicked hangovers. Wickedly talented Adele Dazeem. I get wicked hangovers just from 3 drinks. So unless I drink slowly with 50 glasses of water, I'm eating the food. It's a whole new thing as I've aged. So anyway, but drinking's not that important to me, but I'm a wine asshole. So I'll always like get excited and, you know, I don't smell the wine, but I try to look like I'm smelling it. But the first sip of wine, like yummy, yummy. And then you just sort of get desensitized to it after like a glass and a half, I think. So it's like, oh, what's the point after that? Clearly I don't have a drinking problem because I understand that, my friends who do not drink anymore, laugh when I leave something behind. But, anyway, that's not my point. I said, I'm going to guess who it is. And I looked around and I saw two women about in their 30s. Girls' night, and I was like, not them. They don't even know I exist. They like everyone else but me. They would recognize Amy Schumer, Eliza Schlesinger, Ali Wong. They don't know me. Then it was like a group of, not, I hate the word hipster, but like, you know, just the look that everybody has now, like the black glasses, the beard, and that's just the woman. Hey-o. You know, and the, just everyone looked like, you know, upwardly mobile, 5 years past hipster, not quite dad clothes, 35-year-old young professionals in Brooklyn who've got a little, you know, that, you know, they have a Weezer album or two, right? I said, now you would think it would be that table. But they don't like me either. They are people who read like the Onion AV Club and would hate me. Oh, you should go to the Onion AV Club. I think there's an interview with me. The comments are nasty. I mean, it's like, it literally seems like people were paid to write the meanest things they could and it was became a contest. Oh my God. And then what they love to do on that comment board is just like presume things that you think about yourself. And it's like, what? That's always the weirdest criticism. She thinks she's just like, I'm not thinking anything. But anyway, one of the people was like, I used to listen to her podcast and all she does is complain about customer service and people that drive her around. Oh, fuck you. Way to frame it. Yeah. People that drive me around. Like we all haven't gotten in a fucking Lyft, an Uber, or a cab. You fucking self-righteous asshole. And I know you're like, why are you reading comments on a message board? Because I need to know, and I really fucking mean this. I am not, I literally do not have the thing that a lot of my peers have, and I thank God for it every day. And I do think it's because I have a spiritual life. I do have a sense of a power greater than myself. And if I don't connect to it daily, I am in the shit. Now, that's just for me. What I'm telling y'alls is I truly don't get validated when I see nice comments about me on a message board because, again, I am a consumer of things. And there are things that I like and I can't tell you why. And I don't even necessarily like the person. I might turn on them if I don't like their next album. I mean, I wouldn't turn on them, but I'd be like, nah, I'm done. You know? And so I don't get personal validation because they are not personally validating me. They are saying I like her work. So that's good. But I don't need comments. I need cash. You know what I'm saying? So I don't care who likes me. I care who pays me. And there's plenty of people who like me that have never bought one thing of mine. So again, I look at the cash, not the comments. Now, I need to know what people are saying that's negative. Not all the time. I only go to the AV Club message board because I feel those people are purposeful, hateful people, and they represent what young men think of women. It is my daily, not daily, but it is my sexism barometer. And so I do like to look at them, but now I'm not going to do anything with the AV Club anymore, even though one of my dear friends is a big deal over there. And I think it's a fantastic website. But until they get rid of the comment fields, I do not feel welcome. And neither do most women. So I don't want to give them content, even though I love them. I love the writers there. I love everyone that works there. It's not their fault. But they don't need comments. They don't. Maybe on certain things, turn the comments on if it's a discussion. An op-ed piece, per se. I don't even know if they do those. But yeah, I think it's a nasty environment. And I think that publication, that website, the AV Club, is smart and savvy and, you know, it's got the hip. If you want to know, if you want to get into something that's cool or not cool, like for the sake of being cool, but, you know, if you're like, what are some cool TV shows I can watch that aren't like laugh track sitcoms? Like maybe you'd go to the AV Club and see what they've reviewed recently and you might you know, be like-minded. So I think it's, you know, going to be a little bit, you know, good taste. And the people that comment there, you just can't believe that they're, it's kind of important to know, I guess, that these are the, some people have really good taste and are like dirtbag, horrible, really mean people, you know? So I think it's important to be aware. What? How did I get on this? Oh, boy. Oh, the restaurant. So I knew it wasn't those people at that table. Then I saw a guy, not a creep, not a weirdo. What the hell am I doing here? Sitting by himself at the bar, not in a I just lost all my money in my woman way, but like reading his Kindle and just minding his business, eating dinner alone. I was like, that is who it is. And I guessed right. And she was like, yeah, it was. And I was like, see, that's a Jen Kirkman fan. You're at the bar alone. It's a weeknight. You're in Brooklyn. You're at the bar alone. You're eating dinner. You're just doing you, right? Now, he came over to the table after and was like, it was me. And I was like, thank you so much. And I always love when this happens in front of the people that represent me. Like, see how popular I am? And he was just very nice and then was like, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. Welcome to New York for a while. And then I said, I almost wanted to say, are you and I seem funner? But I didn't want my heart to be broken if he was like, no, I don't listen to your podcast. Because that is really what I want everyone to be into. And also, I just didn't want to seem like a weirdo. Like, take your compliment and don't be like, okay, how into me are you? But if he is listening, his name was Cameron. Thank you for that glass of wine. I believe I did leave half of it, so I'm sorry about that. But I hope you understand. I'm a woman of a certain age. And he was like, oh, I'm alone at the bar. I'm like, so what? I mean, he wasn't. He was like a normal person that ate alone and left. Like, who? Again, with this, people, everyone goes places alone. You could have like 10 kids and a husband, and you might be alone sometimes. It doesn't mean, I don't look at people sitting alone and go, they've got nothing in their life. And if someone thinks that, they're the dumbest person. I don't even know if they're a person. They might. Okay, so my recording cut off because I'm recording this on my phone using the iRig on my phone. And I guess when I get a text, it fucking fucks up the recording, which, as you know, I get a text every 10 seconds. So I was telling you how this place, exposed brick, hardwood floor, it's a big, giant studio. And I walk, so look, I'm at one end, walking, walking, still 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 walking. Oh, I'm at the front door. Okay, so that's how long it is. Bathroom could hold like a 5-person cocktail party. It's got this great wood beam in the middle of the floor. Did I say exposed brick? It's really cute. Everything's like stainless steel and the people don't live here. So it's like, it's very sparsely, Swedishly decorated. The bed's comfy. There's a big closet. It's perfect. It's got everything you need. And because if you ever go on Airbnb, even if you don't use it, just go on sometime for fun. I like to look at the apartments in Paris just for fun. But some people just take a picture. I mean, I guess some people are really in the business of it. They have an extra place. They rent it out. They keep it sparse. These people, like half the people on Airbnb, it's just so messy and cluttered looking. It just feels like it's too much. It's too much. I don't want someone else's dust everywhere, and it's too much for me. So I really love where I am. I love the hood. The neighborhood, everything's great. So, ooh, to that. So let's talk about, I am getting texts, but it's still recording. I don't know what's happening. I wish everyone would leave me alone. I have a time difference. God, everyone I know is like, meet my friend in New York. I'm like, I have friends in New York. I'm working like 40 hours a week. And then I haven't had a job. I mean, I have a career. But I haven't worked for someone else and sat at a desk, which I barely am. It's a really great environment. But, you know, so you have to be somewhere. You can't just wander about the way I do in my Jen Kirkman life. So, what's my point? Oh, so when I get home, I'm like really precious with my time. And everyone's like, you should meet my friend. I'm like, what world is it that I said I'm lonely? I have 5 million friends here and so many people back home and I got to keep up with. So Oh, okay. So this is, I hope the people that rent me the Airbnb don't listen to this because they're not going to understand the good natured way in which I'm telling this, but it's just one of those classic stories that happens to comedians. So I always put in my, I'm just always paranoid that people will not accept me as their Airbnb resident because they're like, why would someone have to come to New York for 6 weeks and they're from LA? Is this some party person? I mean, I don't know. You never know. And I had to say, can I stay these 6 weeks in May, these 4 weeks in June, these, you know, and just so I wrote, I used to live in New York. I work in comedy. I'm coming to write on a show and it's got this on again, off again schedule. I'm very familiar with the area. I'm very trustworthy. I've only used Airbnb once before and it went great. Good story. But you, I don't mind saying I work in comedy because I'll be honest, I think that it seems exciting and fun and then I write. So I'm always in production jobs and I work 18 hours a day. Like people understand for the most part that most showbiz jobs are you work crazy hours and you're not going to have a party. So I didn't say I'm a comedian. Pardon me, I'm a comedian. I said I work in comedy. But I thought maybe they go to my website. If you say I work in comedy and then you say, here's my email address. Like when you can tell what my website is from my email address. And I just feel like why wouldn't you go to that and just see, you know, or Google my name and be like, oh, she's done a lot of things. Oh, 2 books. But that's what I would do. I Google everybody. So anyway, I get here and they're so nice. I mean, the guy is helping me. It's a walk up. So I had 3 really heavy suitcases, like 45 pounds. And he is like running them up the stairs. I'm like, you don't have to run. And his wife's like buying flowers and putting them on the table. I mean, they are delightful. But he says to me, hey, you mentioned you work in comedy, right? And I said, yeah. And he said, now, like, I said, well, I'm writing on a show, but I'm a comedian. He goes, oh, okay. That's what I was wondering if you were, he goes, do you know, boop, insert name here. And I said, no. And he said, no, this is how it went. This is how it went. Without mentioning comedy or anything, he just goes, do you know, boop? And the name is just kind of a generic name. And I was like, sounds like a lawyer I know. And I was like, I think so. Is he a lawyer? I said something weird like that. And he goes, no, he's in comedy. You mentioned that you're in comedy. I go, oh, right. And he goes, yeah, he's a stand-up comedian. I go, oh, so am I. And he goes, yeah, and he lives in New York. And I go, oh, well, I haven't lived here in 15 years, so I don't know the scene. I'm not like running around on the scene. Like my friends, you know, like Wyatt Snack has his show Night Train every Monday night, but he's my generation and my friend. So it's like I do the show, I see him, and like whatever people are on the show that night. Sometimes they're peers of mine, sometimes they're younger, or sometimes whatever, you know. But I'm not running around thing to thing like I used to when I lived here 15 years ago. So I said, well, I'm an LA-based comic. He's New York. If he's younger than me, I'm 42, then he wasn't in New York when I was there. And he goes, oh, yeah. And I go, but I tour a lot. So he, right away, this guy doesn't understand that that's, comedians actually don't know each other because we don't, unless you live in the same city, we are always touring. Like my good friend, Brooke, and my friend, Mr. Dave Hill, I met them in Australia and they're New Yorkers. And even though they both moved to New York after I'd already left, Brooke Van Poplin, Dave Hill, both very funny people, even though they moved to New York after I'd left, like we're in the same world. Like, I knew their names and they knew my names and we were on Twitter and I'd come to New York a couple times, obviously a year, but like, it's not like we're all on the same show. I'd never met them. And we were all put together on the same show in Melbourne in 2014. And I met them there. And I was like, how weird that we had to go to Australia to meet each other. And now we're all friends. Well, I mean, they were friends, but now Brooke's a dear friend of mine and she lives in LA now. So it's whatever. So anyway, could this story be more drawn out for no reason? So, because the whole point is I go, but I can tell they're looking at me and I'm like, oh my God, my status is dropping. This thing always happens is the person asks you if you know their friend and you don't because you're kind of older than them and have like a career. Like if you were like, okay, I'm not even going to give this example because someone from the AV Club is going to listen. But if you're like, Madonna, do you know Shirley Schlinkenblonken? And she's like, no. And they're like, that's weird. She's a singer. Well, I am Madonna. I mean, I'm in a bubble and I'm on tour. And they're like, yeah, weird. I thought you said you were a singer. It's like, okay, I can't explain anything to you. So I go, you know, I'm a little older than him. I said, you know, I'm basically on tour a lot. I'm out of the country 2 months a year. I think when you say you're on tour a lot, you're out of the country. I guess people really don't know what that means. They're like, oh, and they see it as like, oh, that's so sad. Can you not get gigs in Los Angeles? And I know I've talked about this a million times. But if someone told me they toured in Europe, I'd be like, wow, people in Europe know who you are. Otherwise, who's going to come see you on tour? Right? So anyway, but I'm not bragging. But see, that's the thing, because I'm a lady. I'm polite. I'm like underplaying it. You know, I'm hiding my light. But also letting them know, like, this is what my life looks like. You know, I haven't run into him. If he's come to LA, I probably haven't. That's the other thing. I said, they go, well, he goes to LA a lot. And I go, well, that's the thing. I've been on tour for 2 years straight. And if anyone came to LA, including my family, I probably didn't see them. Because when I'm not touring, I'm home sleeping or packing. So he goes, well, he's probably a little too high profile. He's done a couple things on MTV. And I was like, right. Yeah. Well, sure. And I'm like, bitch, I got 2 Netflix specials and I've been on the fucking View. That's right. Will you put that on a t-shirt? I've been on the View and Wendy Williams. Oh, sorry. Sometimes I'm on Colbert. But, you know, come on, people. So, but it was just so funny that he actually said maybe he's too high profile. Like, oh, maybe you don't know him because he's up in the upper echelon of comedy. And then I asked someone if they knew this person and they were like, yeah, he kind of just started a few years ago. Like, he's done a couple of things. So, not that this guy isn't going places, but it's just funny that when you're like a younger person and your friend does comedy and you don't know the older generation, you don't know them. We're just a bunch of old bitches to you. Anyway, that's not a good story, but I was like, oh, when do I get respect? I guess the answer is never. Or, no, it was a nice, see, that's my life, is I'm a piece of shit who, like, the guy renting the Airbnb to me, after I'm like, I have a writing job. I mean, clearly, like, things aren't destitute for me because in 3 days I had the money to just suddenly plunk down on a fucking Airbnb. I'm not saying it's a $5 million penthouse I'm in, but I'm saying, you know, I'm obviously a person who works. And, but no, he was just like, well, better luck next time with your career. And then you get 2 days, 2 nights later, people buy me wine all over the restaurant. I can't even take a minute to breathe with so many fans. Okay. There's one guy, but that's my life. It's like, I'm a piece of shit or I'm someone's favorite comedian. Nothing in between. Nothing in between. And that's what keeps me humble, you know? I am so thirsty. Sorry. I am drinking water with electrolyte powder in it. Okay. Okay. Well, I thought that was good. Somebody asked me on Instagram, and normally that's not a good place to request anything. Again, oh, if you want to contribute to the best of episodes, you can. get the episode number. But what's most helpful is the date that the episode was released. You can give the title of the episode if you want. And the time code. If you do not have the time code, I will just delete your email. And you can just say roughly, because I go and listen to it and figure out exactly the start and stop point that I want. But you could say, oh, was you talking about a turtle? It's from minute 2 to minute 4. And send that to iseemfun@gmail.com. And I will put it as part of the, I'm not going to say, like, I've just taken all the time codes and put it together. I'm not going to say anyone's name. Like, it's not going to be like Casey Kasem, like, this is John's favorite episode. It's just at the beginning, I'm going to go, these clips are from 5 episodes and blah, blah, blah. So, but anyway, my point is that Instagram is not the best way to, if you leave a comment, like, I don't always check my Instagram comments, but so this guy wrote, can I have an update on your neighbor, Andy? And I just happened to see it. And I happened to be like, oh, that's a good idea. And I wrote it down. But don't get yourself excited. It's still the best way to get me to talk about something on the podcast is iseemfun@gmail.com. I rarely check the iseemfun Twitter, you know, so things might not get to me in a timely fashion. So anyways, here's the update on my neighbor. I thought I gave one. Maybe I just told someone this. Well, who cares? If I did tell it, obviously it made no impression on this guy. But that's the other thing. I probably did tell you about 6 weeks ago and this guy hasn't listened, you know? Like people who don't catch up all the way are like, what's going on with this? And I'm like, well, if you listen to the show, you would know. All right, why am I lambasting people? So my neighbor, if you guys don't remember, I wrote about it in my book. I Know What I'm Doing and Other Lies I Tell Myself. It was a whole chapter. By the way, the paperback version is coming out April 25th. Ooh, ooh. I don't know if you can pre-order it yet. Let's see if you can. Let me take a gander and I'll tell you the update. Do 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 do. Da 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 Amazon.com. And there's other ways you can get it. I know what I'm doing. Kindle hardcover. Paperback! $10.87. Why is hardcover $5? Oh, I see. These are people selling it used. A lot of people are selling it. Is that bad? So yeah, the paperback is coming out. $10.87 on April 25th. You can pre-order it right now with one click and you will get it on Tuesday, April 25th. Oh my God. So it's a good beach read. You can get it wet and there's updated material. I mean, not that much. I just wrote a new intro. I kept the old intro in, but I added an intro to the intro. And then I added some stuff like at the end, like an epilogue. Like, here's what my parents thought when they read it. And like, as predicted, I did break up with the Australian and he didn't know who Maya Angelou was. Oh, yeah. I know. It's really smart otherwise. I mean, a lot about him was smart, but that was just that was quite a phase. So my neighbor, Andy. So get my book, you guys. Get my book. Get it for a friend. Let's get it on the bestseller. I mean, it's not going to get on the bestseller list, but, so my neighbor, I've talked about him before, but he used to come to my door and he was really annoying and he basically, he was always just a little off, but he was also a man who was pretty large and would bang on my door and leave, like he would tape things to my door. Like he would stand there for a long time and I could hear him breathing and like with a tape and he'd be taping like free tickets and Groupons to like events and shows on my on my door, on my front door, and over the peephole. So when I looked out, I couldn't see anything. And then he'd be writing in marker, like, Jen, do you want these tickets? And I don't even think he meant go with him. He just meant take these. Like, so he was just a little bit strange. And, you know, he was all up in my biz. So I was one of the first people to move into my apartment building. And then they plunked him down across the hall from me. And I'm like, it was like, you know, those people who sit right next to you in a movie theater and the whole place is empty. That's like, why did you just arrange your tenants that way? Like, you can't you put them down the hall and balance it out like a plane when they're like, this is a small flight. We need you to move to the back row so the plane can be-. That always freaks me out. Like, really? We actually make a difference with our body weights of anywhere from 1 to 280 pounds. All right. Can I get off the plane? Would that balance it out? That would certainly balance my chakras. I get nervous sometimes when. So anywho, and he was like, let's have wine sometime. And I'm like, oh God. And it was just like, please. I had just moved from a nightmare of having a toddler living above me. And just, I didn't want anyone in my business. I wanted quiet. But, because that was seriously like when I applied, you know, when I gave my application for the place, I was seriously shell-shocked. I hadn't slept in like 5 days because the people upstairs from me in a very small 1930s charming apartment in West Hollywood had a toddler who was running up and down starting at 5 a.m. and it seemed like they never took him outside. And I never slept. I mean, and they would let him stay up until 10, 10:30. I don't know what was happening up in there. But I seriously came to my new building and talked to the building manager lady. I was like, I don't know how you would promise me this, but I can't have children living above me. And can you hear people on the floor above you? And she's like, it's pretty soundproof. And I'm like, I can't take a chance. And she's like, let me give you a top floor unit all the way at the end so that you barely even have neighbors. I'm like, thank you. It was like, I was just like a stray cat that showed up and was just like lapping up whatever she gave me. And she gave me a discount because normally that's like the top floor is more expensive. What a rich bitch. I don't have time to live on a top floor. So anyway, when this guy was there, I'm like, why is he my only neighbor? And it was just a living hell. And you can read about it in my book because it's funny. Anyway, so I went to talk to her and she was like, well, he was hit by a bulldozer. I was like, what? She's like, yeah, he's one of those guys in construction that wears the suit and tie and points to where you're supposed to put things. And I guess someone hit him with a bulldozer. So she's like, but it didn't affect his brain. It just affected his like kind of nervous system. So he's got like people that come over and do physical therapy. And I was like, uh-huh. I'm like, I think it affected his brain, but I don't know why he seems to be getting worse. So now, whereas he was like, he was always outside smoking and he was always up and down the halls. Now I saw him in the elevator and I didn't even know it was him. He's way thin. His face looks kind of, do you guys remember Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer after Yukon Cornelius hit the bumble in the head with a rock and his eyes went like googly, googly? He kind of looks like that. He's just kind of googly, googly looking. And he just looks like he's got a walker, like a really big one that's kind of supporting him on all sides. And he has a woman nurse that walks with him. And I'm like, what the hell happened? So he's just like, has gone to like, just a real, I don't know what the word, debilitated. Like he's gone. He's just doesn't seem like he's not like, there must be some chronic pain or some stiffness or something, but he can't walk really. And, yeah. So, and I always smell pot coming from his things. I think he's on the medical marijuana. So, you know, I've been in the elevator with him and I've been like, hi. And he just like, he doesn't answer. He's like, hey, how you doing? So he's just like, I think pretty drugged up and stuff. So I don't even think he remembers any of that. Now I'm like, well, I'm an asshole because here was this nice guy in his last year of being able to kind of walk on his own. And I was being a dick. But it's like, you know what? I wasn't a dick. I really wasn't. I was just sort of like, I asked my building manager what, like, if he was okay, like if he was safe. And she's like, yeah, he's harmless. He's just persistent. And I was like, well, that's annoying. And then one time he said, you know, you are really rude by not answering the door, and I'm going to get you kicked out. Or he said something weird. I'm going to complain about you. And I was like, that's what he used to do. He used to complain about everyone to the building manager. And I said, well, you were actually really rude to keep knocking on my door at 11 at night. And he goes, oh, okay. And that was the last time I've talked to him. That was 3 years ago. So, no, 4 years ago. God, how time flies. So, yeah, sad update. He doesn't seem to be doing well. I don't know what's happened. And don't write me emails diagnosing him and telling me what he has. You have no idea. I don't know if it stems from his brain or what's happening. All right. Well, that was depressing. Let's do... Oh, there's an article I wanted to read. Do I want to read this? It's sort of like more bitching and moaning. Well, one thing, speaking of bitching and moaning, I have phone therapy, you know, because I'm going to be away from my therapist for 6 weeks, which is honestly fine. Like, I'm so fucking busy that it's like, you know, I mean, I like to, it's again, like, I don't just go to therapy to whine and complain about what happened this week, which there's nothing wrong with doing that. But, you know, I just go for my overall mental health. So, yeah, so I have a phone appointment on Sunday, and I'm hashtag blessed, you know, that I'm in therapy. And if you ever wanted to try therapy, I can help you, because this podcast is sponsored by our friends at Talkspace.com. They want you to have amazing mental health. Taking care of your mental health is as important as taking care of your physical health. Sometimes you can't even motivate to go to the gym because your mental health isn't there. It all starts in the mind, people. But you can't just mind over matter. If you've got things going on, you need someone to talk to. But I know maybe you have the type of family that's like, we don't go to therapy in this house. We pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and we handle our problems alone. Well, that's what going to therapy is. You're pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. You're handling it alone. You're just getting some professional help, right? There, no one's coming home with you and solving your problems. You spend an hour a week with someone. That's the whole rest of the time. You're on your own, buddy. So it's important. There's a lot going on. We might have a nuclear war. We've got the Jewish and Christian holidays coming up. There's a lot. You might be seeing your families. You might not. Spring is coming. Maybe you're like me and you actually don't like spring. You'd rather more hibernation weather. It's everyone's different. But I know it can be hard to make it to a therapist's office. Maybe you don't want people knowing where you're going. Maybe there's not one in your area. Maybe it's too damn expensive. That's why I'm excited that my podcast is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company that connects you with a licensed therapist for just $32 a week. Using the Talkspace smartphone app or website, you can text and audio message your therapist as much as you want. Again, that's amazing. And for a reasonable additional fee, you can have a video call as well. And you save money by doing it through this podcast and only through this podcast. So don't lose out on my special offer, Talkspace.com/Jen, J-E-N-1-N on Jen, or use coupon code Jen to get $30 off of your first month and to show your support for this podcast. That's basically like almost a week free. So just do it. Talkspace.com. If you just want to work on becoming a better person, Talkspace can help. As I was spelling my name, Jen, I remembered something that happened at Starbucks back in LA. Very often my name is spelled wrong. Because I go, Jen. I go, what's your name? I go, Jen. I mean, I probably say it so fast. Jin. Sometimes people think I'm saying Jin. So I've had Jin, like the drink, written on my cup. I've had Jan. I don't think I've ever said Jen. Jan. So maybe they think I'm like have an accent. My name is Jan. So they put Jan. John a few times. I'm like, okay. Well, who am I? Shiloh Jolie Pitt? She makes them call her John. Or Jen with two N's. I hate Jen with two N's. I hate it for me. I don't hate it for you. Well, I hate it for you too. So when they go, what's your name? I always go Jen, J-E-N. And this one girl looked up and she goes, I know how to spell Jen. I go, oh, no, it wasn't a judgment on you. I know that I say my name really fast and I have an accent, which I don't. But I mean, I do, but not in America. I don't. And I said, and sometimes people spell it with two N's and depending on my mood, it can bother me. She goes, oh, okay, but who doesn't know how to spell Jen? I go, no, it's not that people don't know how to spell it. They don't know what name I'm saying. And I'm like, why doesn't she know about this phenomenon that everybody talks about? It's like a fucking Tumblr page. And she goes, can I tell you that when people are rude, I just spell their name wrong on purpose. And I was like, interesting. And I was like, do a lot of other people do that? And she's like, I think so. So if your name is consistently spelled wrong, it's that you're rude. And I will not believe that that's why my name was spelled wrong or I was given a wrong name. I am never rude at customer service. In fact, somebody on Instagram said, you are very sweet. I served you tea once. And I was like, where? And she said, at the St. Paul Hotel in Minnesota, which I was just there a few weeks ago when I did an episode of Prairie Home Companion. And that must have been room service. So this lady was in my room and she didn't even say anything. I guess she would have. I can imagine if I was a dick and I was like, that you just invaded my privacy and called the front desk or something. But yeah, so ask her. I'm fucking nice. I don't know what that story was about. Well, anyway, so here's a story. I mean, it's an article about, let's just see what the people on the, so we had the I Seem Funner write in that he was in Italy and he had a panic attack and the Italian doctors gave him Xanax and he didn't want to get addicted. And so my I Seem Fun nurse, Alex, has written in. Your I Seem Fun nurse here. How long does it take to get addicted to Xanax? According to my sources, Xanax should not be used for everyday stress or for longer than 4 months. It's highly addictive to begin with, and those with addictive personalities should be extra cautious. I always hate the expression addictive personality because addiction is a disease and it's not a personality trait. I mean, whatever. If you're starting to have some memory impairment, it's a sign of physical dependence. If you're trying to, I just have memory impairment. Period. If you're trying to go off of it, I don't take Xanax, but decrease it by a dose of 0.5 milligram every 3 days. Well, this is what's so funny is I only have 0.5, half a milligram of Klonopin. That's what I take when that's how little my panic attacks are. They're not that intense anymore, but yeah, I can't imagine taking 2 milligrams anymore. I mean, I used to take 3 when I flew. Oh, I can't believe I didn't die. I mean, it's not, I never took a deathly amount, but I just can't believe I didn't like walk in front of a car. That's what I mean. If you're trying to go off of it, decrease it by a dose of 0.5 milligrams every 3 days. If you stop abruptly, withdrawal symptoms include anxiety, panic attacks, agitation, seizures, headache, nausea, vomiting, muscle pain, and weakness. This applies to all medications called benzodiazepines. Benzos to you people. It includes clonazepam, that's Klonopin, diazepam, that doesn't work, lorazepam, that doesn't work. Well, I mean, I'm telling you my experiences I've had. Oxazepam and Alprazolam. The brand names in Canada are totally different than the U.S., so I just use the chemical names. Yeah, so our I Seem Fun friend in Italy, write us back and let us know how the panic is going. Some lady's writing in about her pussy. You can say my name. I don't see where it is. I was just listening to an old podcast of yours, and you were talking about your love of fashion, so I wanted to get your opinion on something. I have polycystic ovarian syndrome, PCOS. One of the symptoms is excess body hair and facial hair. Ah, what a pain in the butt. I've been getting laser hair removal on my face and neck, and I love it. I've been getting great results, and it's exactly what I wanted. I've never really cared about body hair that all women have, like arms, legs, and underarms, but I've always had a slight preference toward not having hair. I didn't shave a lot because it always seemed so wasteful because my hair would grow back so quickly. Anyway, it's $50 a month for my face and neck laser and $100 for my whole body. So I upgraded to do my whole body. And I think when she says that it's $50 a month, like eventually you stop the laser treatments, right? You don't, it's not the rest of your life because they're killing the root. So I think eventually you don't, it's like you do 8 sessions or something. Here's my question. Bikini laser is included and I feel so conflicted. I've never had a bikini wax and it makes me feel so nervous to have a super hot woman. All the women who work there are so beautiful. It's a medical spa and judging my vagina. Logically, I know they don't care. They just want to get paid. But getting naked makes me so nervous. Have you had bikini waxes? Have you felt anxious about having someone looking at your vagina in a 100% non-sexual way? I prefer that's how people look at it because I don't want anyone who's having anything sexually to do with it to be staring at it. You know what I'm saying? Just do your business and don't put a magnifying glass to it, please. And further, I have the option of bikini wax or Brazilian. The only reason I would go with bikini is just because I want it to be over as soon as possible. Am I just being squeamish? Is this the way women feel when getting professionally groomed in their pubic area? My friends all feel the same way as me. Do you have any advice? Love, Twyla. Oh, you've got a great name. Are you named after Twyla Tharp, the dancer? Well, I don't know how old you are, but it does seem like this, you know, whenever I see like women on TV shows talking about it, I'm like, all right, haven't we all solved the riddle by now? Like we all get them. It's not a big deal, but I guess it's not. I've been getting bikini waxes since I was 21. So 21 years. So I don't even, I go once a month. You're not supposed to go, by the way, speaking of once a month, during PMS. That's when your body is most sensitive. So you want to go the first 2 weeks, of the month, you know, the first two weeks in your cycle that's not period or PMS. Okay, great. I prefer Brazilian. Now, everybody listening, that's when they leave like a strip, right? Or you can have like more than a strip if you want. And it can be a different shape, it can, whatever you want. But what I like about the Brazilian is it goes pretty high up. So bikini wax just gets like that crease between where your leg begins, like where your inner thigh begins and where your vag ends. And so that's good for like, you've got your bathing suit on and you won't have that like 1970s creep, hair creeping out. But you never know the cut of different bathing suits a little bit and you're like, damn it, you know? So I like a Brazilian because there's just no way, unless you're wearing like a thong in front, that anyone's going to see any hair. And I know, listen, you hair people out there, we're not shaming you. We're talking about we don't like the look of it for ourselves. We're not looking at you and judging. Everyone's different. But the bikini wax waxes your bum hole. And I love that. I don't think, listen, I seem real, okay? This is getting real. I don't like the idea of anything but smoothness in my bum area. Because we all know that we all do a number two. And I like to feel like it's all clean back there because I don't want anything staying around. And if I've got hair on my bum hole, then maybe after a number two, things will, you know, cling to the vines. So I don't want any of that nonsense. I like the feeling of smooth. And I swear to God, it's not like a heterosexual woman thing or anything to do with sex. It's nothing like that. It's if I were alone on a desert island, I like the smooth feeling like in and around my genital bum area. I don't know what it is. It just feels clean. So there's that. I have never... This whole notion of like, I know that like in porn or whatever, they can shave it all off or wax it all off. And everyone's like, is that what men want? They want a prepubescent girl. I don't like, I don't think of it that way. And I've never even talked to a man about it. Like guys literally, from what they tell me, don't care. unless it's like, you know, I don't think anyone's really cares. So I don't feel, Jen, it's internalized misogyny. I got it. I also know guys who do the same thing because they have the same OCD. So I don't know. That's just me. So it hurts, but I've heard laser in that area hurts way worse. Way worse. And if you can do laser in your face, I mean, the thing is they give you numbing spray, so you kind of numb the area. And yeah, you know what? With bikini waxers, they get up in there. There's sometimes in the like inspect after and pluck a little. It's like they are so, there are these like weird anal retentive people. I mean, they're not in your butthole, but I'm saying like they're literally perfectionist about it. So, but they're not really looking at your vagina or judging it. And if they are, who cares? Like, it's just, I don't understand. You, who cares? You know, judge them back. But usually you can make a good friend out of your waxer. You know, I'm friends with mine. I mean, we're not like hanging out. I bet I wouldn't not hang out with her, but I just don't have time. I don't know. I think it's kind of cool to, you know, just women and enjoying each other's bodies. That's not what I mean. But the women who do this for a job, they're not judgmental. And I really don't think there's one way that a vagina looks. So there's no right vagina. So anyone judging it, comparing it to what, you know, it's not like an elbow where they all pretty much look the same. It's a very interesting part of us. So I would say go with the Brazilian. And you can always grow it back if you don't like how it feels or looks, but just get the pain over with once and for all. The only place it hurts is like, it really doesn't hurt that much. It's just the anticipation, and then they rip it off and it's like in that moment. And then they put their hand right on it to like numb any hurt. It doesn't really hurt. It's just a little shocking. It's just one of those hurts that you get used to. It feels like ripping a Band-Aid off. It's exactly what it feels like, a giant Band-Aid. All right. Well, we talked about Xanax. We talked about fucking waxing. I had an article here, but I'm not going to read it. Because, listen, there's so much that we can get to for next week. So that's what's going on with me. And until next week, have fun.